have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Are you paid what you are worth? Obviously, one of the biggest influences on the strength of your financial position is how much you are paid for your work. Unfortunately, all too often, many people feel as though they are underpaid, but how do you find out if, in fact, you really are? One of the best ways to find out if you are paid competitively is to talk with recruiters and or staffing agencies. These organizations spend all day seeking talent for companies and have a very good sense for education, experience, and other training that will yield the maximum salary. It is their job to know the facts about salary ranges relative to education and experience, so why not take the time to ask them? This type of research is particularly valuable when you have been with a company for some time. Your salary has remained as competitive as it was when you first were hired. You may also want to inquire of previous coworkers that have left your company to seek employment with another company. We all tend to underestimate the value of our own network of friends, family, and coworkers. You don't have to get specific about your current compensation. To simply ask the salary range that others are seeing at other companies. Another way to evaluate competitiveness of your salary is to go online and complete a salary calculator. There are several websites that ask you to provide information on your education, experience, and certifications for a given position and will in turn provide complete compensation information for your region of the country. Sites such as salary.com and payscale.com provide a quick way to see if your salary is in the range of what is in the marketplace. This is particularly important during these days as we are in COVID-19. I know many companies are having difficulty finding new hires. So as a result, the market is very competitive. So what if upon completing your research you determine that you are in fact underpaid? How should you seek to get what you deserve? If you would prefer to stay with your current company, then you must have a conversation with your manager. The key to doing this is clearly conveying to your manager the value that you provide. Simply talking generalities such as how many hours you work or how many years that you have worked there will likely not get the results you desire. You should clearly recount the accomplishments and contributions you have made that directly point to improvements and or successes that the company has experienced, and quite frankly, ask your manager what you need to do to gain the raise that you desire. As a result of your conversation, you may determine that you should seek additional training or skills. If you are unsatisfied with the results of your conversations, you may, of course, choose to seek employment elsewhere. You have nothing to lose by researching whether you are getting paid what you are worth, and in doing so, your efforts may help you to increase your salary and improve your overall financial position for years to come. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner, where it is Ladies' Night, so we hope you'll join in for the conversation.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. This week, we remember the life and legacy of Lee Andrew Williams. He was born on July 28, 1946. He began performing gospel music as young as the age of 8. He sang with his uncle, a member of a group called the Gospel Stars. He put together a companion group featuring Williams and his 3 siblings. Williams' uncle also formed a group called the Spiritual QCs in 1962. QC, which stands for Qualified Christian Singers. When the group broke up in 1968, Williams took the name for his own group. Although the Spiritual QCs toured extensively, off and on, over the last 3 decades, it wasn't until the 1990s that their music became well-documented. Williams' group peaked commercially with the song Good Time, which entered the top 10 of Billboard's Gospel Albums charts. It earned the group Traditional Quartet of the Year at the Gospel Music Excellence Awards and was nominated for Best Gospel Album at the Soul Train Music Awards. Williams' group continued to record and tour to great acclaim throughout the mid-2010s. Lee Williams and the Spiritual QCs, an American quartet group originating in the city of Tupelo, Mississippi, which has been in existence since 1968. The group started recording around 1970. The gospel quartet included Lee Williams as lead singer, Al Hollis as guitarist and background vocalist, Patrick Hollis as background singer, Leonard Shumpert as second lead vocalist, and new full-time bassist, Tommy Harris. Lee Williams was also co-lead singer with Willie Ligon. Lee Williams and the Spiritual QCs went from being a part-time gospel group to Recording of the Year. The group's first recordings were a series of 45 RPM records on the Designer label of Memphis, Tennessee. The singles were usually one side led by Willie Ligon and the other by Lee Williams. After Ligon's departure from the group, Williams took over lead duties and renamed the group. The change included his name out front. The first national recording was in 1996 at the Georgia-based gospel label MCG Records. Jesus is Alive and Well was their first album, which included the breakout recording I've Learned to Lean. Their second album, Love Will Go All the Way, was released in 1998, which included a few songs from their first album and set the stage for their third. Released in 2000, named Good Time, this album reached the top of Billboard's Gospel Album charts in November. During that following year, the group won Traditional Quartet of the Year at the Gospel Music Excellence Awards and was nominated for Best Album at the Soul Train Music Awards. In 2002, the group recorded their fourth album entitled Right on Time at the Temple of Deliverance Church in Memphis. When the recording finished, the album was released to the public in the spring of 2003. In 2005, they released their fifth album entitled Tell the Angels in Memphis Again. In 2006, they released a compilation of songs on the album Soulful Healing. In the 2000s, they went to Soulink Live, then the second one, then a third one. In 2007, they released So Much to Be Thankful For. They did a few other compilation albums, including My Brother's Keeper, The Collection, in 2009. Also in 2009, they released their seventh album entitled Fall on Me. In 2011, they released their eighth album, Living on the Lord's Side, at the Greater Travelers Rest Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. In 2015, they made their last album, another compilation entitled Memphis Gospel Live. For the rest of their singing time, they went to many places in the South. Lee Williams retired from the group after being diagnosed with dementia. They did a retirement concert with Lee's son, Cece. They also brought back a member to sing Running for My Life. Here's this week's top 10 gospel quartet songs being brought to you by Gloryland Gospel. Number 10, Bobby Wilson and the Chosen One with Do You Know Jesus. 9, Good to Me by the Brown Boys. 8, Pastor Austin Hill and Renewed with Bless My Soul. Number 7, The Gospel Legends, Get Right Church. Number 6, The Gospel Miracolettes with God Did a Wonderful Thing. Number 5, The Sons of God, Can't Make It Without You. 4, James Spann and the Spann Brothers with Reunion. 3, The Gospel Incredibles with Roll Back the Curtains. 2, The Legendary Ingram X with Until I Die. Our new number 1 song for September of 2021 comes from the McDuffies, Never Forget What He Does. That's your top 10 gospel quartet songs for this week and your tribute to Lee Williams. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter. And you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for coming on. Elder Richard, Apostle Smith. And unfortunately, I'm not even them, but it's an amazing day, and I just want to thank Pastor personally, moment, and I really have loved and I thank you so much, and I wanted to talk to Nina Taylor as it relates to her wonderful Gospel News. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on. This is the Pastor's Corner, a special edition with the ladies. And I'm just so elated to let you know that we're going to have a great time in the Lord. And before we turn it over, I want to say hello to Bishop Elette, Overseer Elder Ernest Richard. You are so amazing. Did you make it to New Orleans?
Yes, we actually did. I thought you'd find out who you have on tonight. I was going to give you all opportunity, a chance to talk. I'm really hoping that I invited a special guest to join you ladies tonight, and I don't know if she actually made it. Let me find out right now. Apostle Graber, are you here?
She's not here.
She showed up.
I just see the numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she would show up. But anyway, I'm going to give you a chance to do what you need to do, and we can get a chance. Cause I know you said open discussion, and, you know, the guys can hang out with you ladies tonight if you want us to. We don't have to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we love you guys, but I'm not hosting it today. It is going to be Pastor Michelle Wright bringing it to the ladies, and I'm about to
just let her do what she does. Go ahead.
I know.
Go ahead.
Right?
I don't want to interrupt. I do not want to interrupt. So give it to her.
Oh,
let her take it where she's going to take it, and we'll come in. We'll talk about. There's a boatload of things going, but before you come, Pastor Wright, there's a someone very dear to my heart and to First Lady Richard's heart. We're just discovering that Mother Ernestine Sales, and we've adopted her as our grandmother, just not even less than an hour ago, suffered a minor heart attack, and I need
my
you to
God.
Pray for her as you open up, you know, and pray for the Sales family, you know, just such a dear, 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 dear sweet woman of God. I mean, you know, I recall...
Hello. Okay.
You there?
He must have dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dropped. So I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'm going to give you the special torch, and thank you so much for inviting, for accepting the invitation to moderate. And we have before then.
Amen.
Select,
right. I'm right here. Yes, I was just letting you go ahead. You know, I got my phone is dating CeCe these days. You know, cheap cell phone.
Okay.
I have no idea. This phone dies when it feels like it. Charge this thing all weekend. It's still gonna. It's gonna find a way to act like a telephone. Anyway. But definitely, please hold her up in prayer. And I mean, there's so many others. Pray for the people of Hurricane Ida. There's, you know, I was hoping that Apostle Graber would make her way on. They are doing such an awesome job down there. Their food pantry, and they're feeding every Tuesday and Thursday. I mean, they're giving away whole cases of eggs, okay? Well, we'll talk about it. Come on, ladies, don't let us take over. I know Apostle Whitlow and Smith are here, but do what you're going to do, ladies, and we'll get in there somewhere.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, I'm about to mute you in and give to Michelle. Michelle, I want to pass you the torch, and thank you so much for this for accepting the invitation. So far, we have Pastor Henderson, how you doing, my sister?
Amen. This is today the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be a part of this panel tonight. Looking forward to the discussion.
And we have Mr. Henderson. Yay! How you doing today?
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, and I am also looking forward to discussion on tonight.
Amen. And we have First Lady Sharon Richards. How you doing, my sister?
Wonderful. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you.
Wow. We definitely have a treat. So, Michelle, I'm just going to pass you the torch. I just want to let you know who's on and others to be coming on. And thank you once again for...
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord to everyone. We're so excited to be before the Lord again another night with my sisters in Christ and our brothers in Christ. What an honor and a privilege. And we just want to thank God for all that he's done and all that he's about to do. I would like for us, if we can, to begin in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your will, your work, your way. Oh, God, I thank you for each of my sisters, oh, God. You know them. You know their hearts. You know their minds, their spirits. God, bless them inside out, our brothers in Christ. We ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you keep your hand upon them as well. I pray for my husband as well, God. We just thank you, and we lift up Mother Ernestine Sales. God, you know all about her body. You knew before it took place, but God, we worship you in this hour because you are still good, oh, God. Touch her children. Touch her family, oh, God. Bless the Richards, oh, God, the man and woman of God. Bless them in the heart in this matter, oh, God, and every person that has a need and that is dealing with something, we lay it on the altar before you, and we ask that you have your divine will and way. Forgive us of our sins, and Lord, come into this podcast and have your way, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, and we will give you the honor, the praise, and all of the glory. You are worthy. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm so excited to be with you, my sisters, on tonight. Pastor Henderson, Minister Henderson, our sister Kimmy Kemp, and Lady Sharon. What a blessing it is. Tonight we're going to be talking and we're going to be sharing the story of a praying woman. Amen. And I know all of us as women of God and those that believe in his power know what prayer is. And I want to open up the floor with us as sharing. I have a question for you. When we talk about prayer, we're talking about communicating with God and listening, not just talking to him, but listening to him. And I'd like to open up the floor to ask, who was that woman that you saw that inspired you to continue and be the prayer warrior that you are today? I want to start with Pastor Henderson. Can you tell us who it was that you saw that pricked your heart that said, listen, prayer is powerful. I want to be before the Lord, and I want to be able to communicate with him.
Amen. In my personal life as well as, in my personal life, my mom was the person who I saw praying, and that was my motivator because I would wake up in the middle of the night and I could hear her praying. Whenever something was going on in school, even as a little child, I'd go home and tell her, and I knew she was praying about it. As I got older through school, we always communicated, about prayer. So that was my, to watch her, really show me the importance of prayer, and she would always tell me how she called each one out, name each one of our, my siblings out. And so that really let me see, even at a young age, how important prayer was and how important prayer is. And so that stirred me at a young age praying, as a little one, as a younger person in the Lord, and continued on until my adult life. And then when I read the Word of God, Hannah in the Bible, also when I read her story, that is a great, just to hear her experience with prayer on the altar and what she was going through, that's another character in the Word that really inspired me in my prayer walk with God.
Yes, and we'll be talking about some women tonight. Amen, amen. Wonderful segue. Lady Richard, can you tell us who was it that inspired you to pray and wanted to pray in your lifetime?
Similar to my sister, my mother certainly was foremost. She just was just truly, truly someone that just loved God and really just instilled that in me at a young age. And then I'd say, as I've gotten older too, there have been other women mm-hmm. in my life. Actually, one of my former first ladies that really had a big influence on me, really elevating mm-hmm. my prayer life to another level still. So I've just been blessed to be around several women of God that just really kind of impressed that upon me, and God just worked it in me at another level still, and just developed that hunger for it, such that mm-hmm. I'm so passionate about it now. Couldn't imagine life
amen.
Without it.
Amen. I wouldn't know what to do without prayer. Amen. Kim, tell us who inspired you with this great vision God has blessed you with. Who inspired you in your prayer life?
I'm going to be honest. It was first my dad, then my mom,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
I would say also Jesus, because one thing I love about
mm-hmm.
my parents, they did make the way or made a way of me having a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Then after I became of age, it was my responsibility to, you know, learn on my own, because the word says you must come to Him on your own personal relationship. You cannot come on based on previous people, such as your mom, your grandmother. So as I start learning God more, I found that prayer was simple. People make it complicated. So Jesus says
mm-hmm.
he inspired me to pray more, because he says this is how you should pray. And when
mm-hmm.
he prayed, it was so simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
It was just simple. And mm-hmm. sometimes we can overdo it by saying you must pray
mm-hmm.
like this, you must pray like this. But prayer,
mm-hmm.
he taught me that prayer is just talking to your Heavenly Father, Kim, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he inspired me. And it also said there's a parable in the Matthew that says that people who wander and keep lingering their prayer, they are like, hypocrites. And so that
mm-hmm.
is why he says to always be firm and be consistent and be,
mm-hmm.
you know, a steadfast. And you want to have supplication in there. You want to have definitely to honor him. But I just love how he left his standard prayer. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. And Minister Henderson, can you share with us who you are?
Absolutely. Okay, so my inspiration for my prayer life would come from both my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was my experience growing up in a home where prayer was simply a foundation in,
mm-hmm.
you know, our everyday lives. So I can remember when just being a little, you know, in elementary school and waking up and hearing my parents praying
mm-hmm.
in the morning. And then they would also just instill that within us, you know, that how important prayer was. And then also just hearing the testimonies of, you know, deliverance that have, you know, occurred as a result of those prayers. So that is really where I got my foundation, I would say, both of my parents.
Amen. And for me, it was my mom and my grandmother. My mom, I would watch her. And we're going to talk about the posture of prayer. Of how she would handle things. You know, it's something when you would see some trouble or see something, you know, we know people react differently. But I would notice something about my mother. She would always lightly, gracefully excuse herself from the situation, go into her bedroom and close the door. And I knew exactly what that meant when I could hear her praying. And then for my grandmother, who was a mother in the church, we would watch her, and I spent a lot of time up under my grandmother, because every Sunday after church, our families would go to my grandmother's house. And so in addition to her praying at the church and praying, I would hear her moaning at the kitchen sink, and I would hear her praying through the house. And the other person that inspired me was a mentor. Her name was Miss Bullock, And she had 14 kids and found the time to take me along for various growth and the Baptist training unions and different programs for youth. And I watched her in my life. And the reason why I asked us before we began talking about these women in the Bible that we have tonight, we want us to understand this is so beautiful to know. We recognized it. You know, and this is so important in this day and time that even with our young people, the children in our family, our daughters, sons, whoever it is around us, that the power of a praying woman comes from praying, and they have to see it and they have to understand it. And most of us feel it because we know what it was like to have a grandmother or someone pray for us and that loved us. So I want to thank each and every one of you for sharing that. And we're going to talk about the posture of a praying woman. And those women and those people, the fathers, the women, those that we saw praying, there was a certain posture they had. They weren't, when it comes to prayer, it's serious business, you know. We believe God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And Hebrews 11:6, it tells us this all the time. And what does that mean to have that posture? And anyone can jump in. What does it mean to have that posture of prayer? What does that look like? Is it always praying on your knees? Is it a certain way you have to? Kim, she touched on that. Is it a certain way you've got to pray to get the ear of God? Somebody help me and share with me, what is the posture of prayer? Anybody?
When I think of posture of prayer, it's not only, well, in some regards, you think of posture of prayer as how you position yourself, and some people think of that posture of prayer as far as some lay before mm-hmm. the Lord on the altar, mm-hmm. some kneel, some stand. But as when I was younger, I always thought that you always had to be kneeling, which, you know, but as I grew in my walk with the Lord, I learned that prayer is something that I take with me all throughout my day, so I'm not always able to pray. And I remember a lot of times I would just go in the restroom when I'd be at work or at school or someplace, and I'd just take my time and just wanted to have communication with God. And I would just go in the restroom and fall, and I'd just start praying with him. So there were times when I was standing, there were times when I'd be on my knees, and then there are times when I lay prostrate before the Lord in prayer. So the posture takes different positions physically as mm-hmm. you pray and communicate with the Lord, but also just having the posture of faith, coming to him in the posture of believing him for who he is, that he's able to mm-hmm. do what he said that he would do in his word. So I think that, to me, on that side is very strong posture, that when you come to him, you're coming with a believing heart, because even though you may have these physical postures that you take, you know, in kneeling or standing, but the most important, mm-hmm. I think, to God is that we come in a posture of believing him, that he's able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think. So so when I think of posture, I think of our position, how we position ourselves mm-hmm. when we go into the presence of God.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? And I want to say this, too, that I'm glad you brought up the different postures of prayer, because there are so many people that believe if you don't kneel that God doesn't hear you. But God draws nigh to us when we draw nigh to him. And it's so mm-hmm. important that everyone understands that when you come into the body of Christ, you may be a babe. Maybe you don't know about praying on your knees, but you just know to call mm-hmm. on Jesus. That's just as important as being on your knees as an older saint or someone that's more seasoned that would know about prayer and because of their relationship. And we have to have a strong relationship. I believe that a lot of times, you know, we say we believe God, but if we're not communicating with him, if we're not talking to him, it's concerning because we need to know his heart as well as what we're praying for. So I just wanted to insert that. Is there someone else that has something to add?
No, I love what she said and agree 100%. For me, I'm always mindful of the Lord's Prayer, which, you know, really teaches you that you really have to come in the right spirit. So we have to come in reverence to him first and foremost, and in humility. mm-hmm. you know, always recognizing that we fall short of the glory and we have ask for forgiveness as we go into prayer. So we have to be humble in mm-hmm. our hearts and really give him praise as we go into prayer. So for me, that's the most critical thing. But at the same time, I don't have any problems at times. If I need to get down full prostrate on the floor, it's good. I can do it. Fantastic. Yes.
Amen.
Like you said, sometimes I'm in my car. It could be anywhere
mm-hmm.
at any time of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he hears us. He really hears us. I want to share tonight about two women in the Bible, and one being the first of Elizabeth, that we know that Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. And for Elizabeth, she was barren. And when she was barren, it was in a time that was considered to be disgraceful because they felt she was not able to carry. And we're talking about the power of a praying woman. And in that, she was married to Zechariah. She also was the mother of John the Baptist. In her lifetime, I can imagine her wanting to produce and have nothing that came out and be looked upon and yet be determined enough to continue to pray. And she continued to pray that the Lord would bless her womb. And what I love about her is that she didn't give up. There are times in our lives when we're going through situations or things happen, and we know that it doesn't seem apparent that the outcome is working in our favor according to those that don't believe as we trust God. But here's the thing. Elizabeth stayed before the Lord. Not only did she stay before the Lord, she did pray. And it records in Luke 1:24-25. This is the New International Version. It says, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. I want to stop right there because it's important when you've been empty and you began to carry something that we don't expose ourselves to conditions that could abort or damage or take away that which God has put on the inside of us. So what she did was she was in seclusion. Now, I always heard, and this was something I heard when I was younger, when I would hear the women talking that were pregnant, they used to say, the older women to the younger women, baby, it's not good to go out before you're showing. They were protecting that baby. They were protecting that womb by allowing them not to be around because some people believed if you went out before that time, you could lose the baby. 25 says this, the Lord has done this for me. This is the testimony of Elizabeth, that the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. She recognized there was something that was being said and certain things in the condition of her environment that kept her in a disgraceful place with the people. But yet in her heart, she knew God would answer her. There are times in our lives through prayer, we go through things, and it seems like, listen, you can pray. And I said this one time on the podcast, I said, listen, it's times when Jesus will come and he will see about somebody before you. In Elizabeth's case, can you imagine how many women carried and birthed their babies before she got hers and the positioning she must have felt? Can someone share with me what it must have felt like to be able to want to care, be willing, be open, and give yourself to the Lord? She was faithful to God, and yet her womb was still empty. Can someone share the power of her holding on until her answer came through prayer? Because in prayer, we have to wait for some things. Hello. Hallelujah.
I think it goes back to having that believing heart of trusting Amen. That God is faithful, that promise. And so as you're communicating with him, you're trusting him to for the appointed time. You know, so many times in life we have things in our life and we're waiting on God to do it. And we don't see it, but you yet believe that he will do what he said that he will do. So as we wait on him, you know, we wait in a posture of praising. We wait in a posture of worshiping. We wait in a posture of continuing to keep our faith built up in him, not allowing any outside anything to contaminate our faith. And so we're protecting our faith. You protect that wound or that thing that you're waiting to happen. You're protecting it because you're not allowing it to be contaminated by doubt or unbelief, or you don't let it be contaminated by complaining. And but you just keep your worship and your praise toward God and just worship him. And as you are communicating with him, you're serving him and you're waiting on him and you're trusting him. And so you get in that posture where it's just you and him in this loving relationship and knowing that he's a faithful God. And that he has you. And whatever it is that you have before him, it's like in the birthing position. You're just waiting for the manifestation of it to come forth. So you get into this place of worship and praise and honoring him as you wait on him.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to know he's going to answer. Even when we come in faith, we believe he's going to answer us. I wouldn't pray to a God I wouldn't believe that could answer me when I recognize I've seen, I've heard his power. I've watched and know that he's able and he's capable. And I believe that with Elizabeth, can you imagine her going to her husband, and, you know, as a man and wanting children and believing God for biblical things he's seen and all these things, but the power of a praying woman will help anyone that's in her environment understand how great her God is. And I thank God for your comments. And anybody, anytime, jump on in after the question. God bless you on tonight. We're going to also talk about the Canaanite woman. This woman was looked down upon. She was considered extremely poor, the Canaanites were. And they didn't really appreciate the volume of her voice and when she wanted to pray. They thought she was annoying. And when she knew she could come in contact with Jesus, she cried out to him. And that was annoying to the people. And he went away from there, and he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And this woman came out and was crying. I can imagine, this is in my mind, this is not what I'm saying, this written, but I can imagine him resting or doing something. And here comes this woman who cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But guess what? After she did all that crying, he didn't say a word. Now, this is something that's key for us as believers. In prayer, there are times when we just know victory is certainly ours because we believe it going in. Then there are times while you're in waiting that the waiting seems like it just keeps holding on, and you believe, you know you talk to the Lord, but yet it seems like he's silent. This is what happened to the Canaanite woman. And then they said to send her away. Just leave her alone. Get her out of here. She's making too much noise. There are times when people can tell you because you believe your God, you making too much noise. Or you done said that before. Or why don't you just say something different? But you don't know what's in the heart of that believer. And for this woman, her daughter was precious to her. She wasn't going to let it go. She was desperate for God to come in and for Jesus to answer her. And listen, because of her determination, she got the ear of Jesus. And after he had said nothing, he said this to her. She said, "Lord, help me." And he said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. And that is found in Matthew 15:21 through 28. Listen, we've all come to a place at this place in our lives. We have so much going on, the pandemic we've seen, and we hear of sickness and death and all of these things. But what I loved about the Canaanite woman, she wouldn't stop. She wouldn't let go because she wanted God to come in, and she needed an answer. When we need an answer, can somebody jump in right away and tell me, when you need an answer, how long would you hold on? How long would you wait on the Lord? Glory
Amen.
To God. Minister to anybody. Come on, jump on in.
Well, you
Amen.
Wait as long
I
as it takes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was going to I'll finish that for you. Wait as long as, I mean, just keep on waiting. You know, wait and continue to wait on the Lord. And, you know, that was one thing that about the thing, that woman, that she was persistent in between her crying,
mm-hmm.
in between her need.
Mm-hmm.
He was determined that she knew that our help comes from the Lord. And, you know, when we get in situations, and even when we're in pain and when we're in distress and frustrated, we got to know that all of our help is in the name of the Lord. So if we turn away from our help, to whom can we go? And so she knew that her help was in calling on Jesus. And even though he wasn't responding the way she might have probably expected him to respond, she continued to worship him. She began to worship him for being God.
Come
because
on.
She believed that he was God and was able to be her answer. And so when we know that God is our answer, even though it may seem like it may be delayed, that our time and our posture should be begin to worship him because he's still God.
Yes.
And when you know he's able, you just keep on praising him and keep worshiping him because he that will come shall come, the scripture says, and he will not tarry. And that he's faithful to his word and to his character. And so, I love that story because she continued to be persistent. And so many times when people don't see the answer right away, they give up and they turn their back on God. But that's not the time to turn your back on the Lord. You know, it's time to draw closer to him and begin to worship him for being God because there's purpose and timing for everything that happens. And so God just wants to know if you really have faith, real faith holds on. You know, I always say this to my brother and to my family, you know, hey, if I got to go down in this army, you know, I'm going down with my faith. I'm going down believing God, you know, and so we got to hold on to our faith because the Lord says, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? God is looking for a believing people. But you never give up. Never throw your faith in. Never give up on God. You hold on until it comes. Because he that will come, he will come. It'll be on time. It'll be in time. And it'll be for the time that he has for it to come forth. But we just keep on looking on God. He's faithful.
Amen. Come on, somebody else. I heard two or three people come on. And I wanted to ask, is the woman of God, I don't know if it's Apostle or Pastor Graver on. Did she ever make it on? Okay, let's keep going. I just wanted to make sure if she had come, if she was a special guest, I wanted to make sure we would check. Go ahead. Somebody else was getting ready to chime in.
Okay, well, I just agree with everything she just said. You just have to know that when you pray that God is going to answer your prayer. The Bible says if you believe that you have received when you pray, then you're going to have what it is that you prayed for. So you have to come in agreement with what God's word says and forget about what it is that you see because we don't walk by we walk by faith and not by what we see. And we have to understand God is not a respecter of persons. If he's going to do it for somebody else or if he's done it in the past, he's going to do it again for you. You just have to keep believing, knowing that God is going to come through for you no matter what the situation looks like.
Yes. Awesome. You know, I just want to throw something in there, too, because so many times we say and we believe that. And listen, what happens when you believe God in a situation of affliction and someone that you love and they are just not doing well and we plead in the blood and we call on the name of the Lord and yet they still go home to glory? I need someone to help somebody else to understand that at the end of the day, God makes the administrative decision over what he wants to do. do. Your prayers were not ineffective because there was an outcome that was not believed for, that you trusted for. He makes the administrative decision based upon his purpose, his will, his preference of what he wants to do. So I also want us to be aware and state out here that in prayer we do believe God, and regardless of the outcome, he is still God, and he loves us so much. I remember when Pastor Tony Evans' wife died, and they had the entire country, everybody was praying, and we as believers, we're like, yes, and God showed glimpses of healing and bringing her back, but at the end of the day, when he said it was time for her to come home, it was a very big disappointment. I will never forget what her son said when he spoke at her home going. He said this, God told him, who are you to question my ability? And he went on to tell him, you prayed, you asked for her to be healed, and she was healed. And she was healed not only on this side, but her life eternal is her total healing. I want us to understand and know that there are times when it may not seem like he answered us, but he answered us. And anybody that wants to chime in on that needs to just give some believer out there that may not believe. That,
I would like to say something.
Come on.
I would like to say something about that, because you just said something that was very profound. We all have a graduation date. We don't know the day nor the hour. So just because we don't get the living on earth doesn't mean we're not living. If we're in Christ, we are having eternal living in the Lord. Yes. So I really believe that no matter what, it's all well. But you must be at a serenity place. You must in a place and knowing that no matter what God says, okay, of course we don't want to see anyone go, but that is part of the plan for God, because we all have a calling date. Either we're going to be called before he comes, or we're going to be called when he comes. But it's important that we have a relationship with him, and that's why prayer is important, because your relationship with God, it's based on your prayer life. It's based on your trusting him. It's based on how much time you spend with him. And just because someone doesn't make it on this side doesn't mean they don't make it on the other side. And FYI, we don't know who's going to make it. Someone may think they're going to make it, but it's all about internal, because anyone can say that they believe in God, but only God knows who's going to make it.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if we get to see who's in heaven that, well, I don't know. But anyways, just don't be surprised to be, just don't be surprised to see people that you thought weren't going to make it, but they made it, and people you thought they weren't going to make it, didn't make it. Because God is looking for a pure heart. And if you have a pure heart, that is what matters. And so that is what I would
say. That's personal for me. Awesome. I'm sorry? Did someone say something?
No, I was just saying that's personal for me.
Yes. And he loves us so much. And what I love about him in prayer is talking to him and giving. When we're talking about a pure heart, it's coming to him. The Bible says trust in Proverbs 3:5-6. And we'll turn it back over to Kimmy. Listen, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He never says that you're just going to be holy, holy, holy. I don't know about you, but there have been times I've been broken and cried and have to go to him in that state. There have been times I've been hurt or frustrated, and I'm so glad that he listens to us, because here's the thing. He loves us so much. His grace and his mercy is so wonderful. And he doesn't limit us to a certain way to have an emotion to come to him. If I only had to pray to him with holy, 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 I would probably be in trouble, because I've been through some things. You've been through some things. So for him to hear our hearts is what moves him through our faith to give what he wants to do for us in this life. And I'm just so grateful that he loves us like that. I'm so grateful that he hears and he answers and he manifests his promises before mankind, that we all can look to the hills and know from whence cometh our help, and all our help coming from the Lord thy God. I thank each and every one of you for being on tonight. We're going to turn it back over. Are there any closing remarks, anything anyone would like to say as we close out for the pastor and talking about the power of a praying woman?
Oh, wow. I just want to say awesome discussion, because there is nothing like a praying woman, and I just love this topic. And that is to all the women on tonight. Wow.
Amen.
I just
Amen.
Love praying.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
If there's nothing else, we're going to turn it back over to our sister and the Lord. We're praying also for the apostle, I don't want to give the wrong title, but the woman of God, Graber. We want you all to know we'll be lifting her up and the work that she's doing, and all of those that are in Hurricane Ida and all of the things that are going on across the world. Ernestine, Mother Ernestine Sales, our families, all of those things, because once we're off is here, press still continues. So we're going to continue, if you will, add those to your prayer list so that we can continue to hear about the goodness and the grace
yes.
of God. Continue to pray for me if you guys will. There's a lot in motion,
yes.
and we're believing God and thanking him for everything in advance, because he's so mighty. He's so powerful. And so we're just mm-hmm. excited. And one other thing, whatever you do, just like the woman of God, the Canaanite, and as my sister pastor, I believe it was Henderson, that said, we want to worship him. No matter what we go through, we must worship through, because that is our way to depart, to let him know how much we love him and that we trust him no matter what we see or go through. May God bless each and every one of you all. Thank you again, my sister, Candy Kim, for your love and for all of us being able to have this platform as women to speak and talk. And God bless all the men that are on the line tonight. God bless you. Dr. Candy Kim is in your hands.
Amen. No, I'm going to pass it to Overseer Bishop Ernest Richard.
Yes.
We bless God for your discussion tonight. We were having minor telephone difficulties, but I think we got it straightened out. I don't know who all's here from the panel, but I trust that it's a full panel. Did Apostle Graber make it?
No.
Did she make it? No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry. Don't worry about it. We'll catch her
another
time.
But we're praying for her. Yes, sir.
I appreciate you. I wanted to have opportunity for her to share what God is doing. But listen, thank you all so much. I know every third Thursday the women come in and do the awesome job that they do. Apostle Smith, are you on the line?
Hello.
Would you like to have words at this time, sir?
Hello.
Oh, really? That's all? That's it?
All right. Well, we ain't going to force no words out of you if you don't want to put none out. Apostle Whitlow?
No one.
All right. Apostle Whitlow, you're on mute if you're talking.
It's not on. Sorry.
Oh, he's not on. Okay. Well, don't worry about it. We thank God for each and every one of you.
Bishop, relax.
Yes, sir.
I will say I have something. I enjoyed the excitement of the facilitator tonight. And the more she talked, the more anointed she became. And she was really feeling some things that I believe she really wanted to go further. But,
I know, right? I don't know why she stopped.
she gave it up before she could have it all. I don't understand.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But we bless God.
Well.
We bless God. And I am truly grateful for the praying women. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Not that I believe that women are the only ones that should be praying. I know from my years of growing up in God, if I had not been encompassed with the praying women of our 12 o'clock prayer time,
my God,
I wouldn't know right now. Because if we waiting on the men for prayer, there might not be no prayer in the church.
Might not be a church for some. Anyway, I'm just going to just thank God for you for the awesome job that you always do. Let us not forget October 9th on two separate occasions. There are two explosions taking place, one in the north and one in the Midwest. And Dr. Kimmy, I'm going to ask that you tell us about what's going on down in St. Louis on October 9th.
Oh, you're so amazing. Wow, we're just coming back and doing a gospel explosion in the St. Louis area. Normally, we would do this in September, but it was pushed back. So this is another way of us showing the young people that, hey, you can have fun in the Lord. So we will have Christian artists who are rap artists, as well as a young man who is like 13 singing and just having a good time in the Lord. I love hip hop, so I don't stop listening to my hip hop because I became a believer. I still can listen to it. That is what it's October the 9th, and you can find a flyer on Facebook.
Well, give us information. Give them the date, the place, the time.
Sure.
Tickets if they're
it's
in.
October the 9th. There's no tickets. Everything is free. We will have it on a Saturday, and we're going to have doors open from 6 to 9 p.m. For more information, please reach out to 314-546-8567. And a great time. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have some great testimonies, some singing, some playing, and just having a great time with the young people. Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to pull the first set of doors I find in St. Louis, and hopefully that's going to be where the party is. I got no address, so I don't know exactly
I don't know offhand. I don't want to get out the wrong information, so I will have that information on next week.
No problem.
So that's why I get my number.
No problem. I won't mess with you. Well, happening up in New Haven, in the North Haven area to be exact, the 15th annual Hollaback Gospel Music and Excellence Awards, hosted by Dr. Jerry Green and yours truly. This year's solo artists include Leandria Johnson, the legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong, and a strong up-and-coming and great comedian in Willie Brown. Among those being honored is one who is on the line with us right now. He's being honored for his time and his efforts in the community, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, as Pastor of the Year. That's a shame. But if you can't toot your own horn, why even bother trying to talk, right? Nonetheless, it will take place at the Best Western Hotel Conference Ballroom, North Haven. I think the address is 1201. I hope I got that address right. Washington Avenue in the 201. Okay, I got one number too many in there. 201. Dr. Robinson, it's okay to get it wrong every now and then because there's somebody there to help you out. But anyway, 201 Washington Avenue in the city of North Haven. Tickets are $42. There will be no comp tickets this year because of the spacing. We have limited space. We can only fit 500. and there will be no comp tickets. So please, ma'am, please, sir, get your tickets early at $4.99. We start turning you away from the door because of the fire marshal and COVID as well. And it will have COVID protocol. You will need a mask, and we encourage you to bring your mask with you. For more information, you can you can get tickets at Kevin's Seafood. You can also get tickets. I'm trying to think of the other place that Dr. Green told me, but nonetheless, you can call me and I'll give you more information, 202-802-5209, or you can go to www.hollerbackawards.com and you can purchase your tickets online. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, Pastor Michelle Wright, I'm going to turn the final say and benediction into your hands since it's ladies' night. We appreciate you. Minister Paula Henderson, Pastor Anna Henderson, of course, my wife, First Lady Sharon Richard, Dr. Mm-hmm. Kimmy Robinson, and I pray I haven't missed anybody. And if I did, please let me know who I missed. But thank you all for taking the time to grace us with your presence in this show called The Pastor's Corner. In your hands, Pastor Michelle.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We ask that you will keep and hold all of us dear in your heart. We ask that you be with those prayer requests that we've spoken aloud and those that are unspoken in our heart. Lead God and direct us. Cover us in your precious blood that we will all be healed, strong, and hold on to you in these trying times. We thank you for Dr. Kimmy Kim, our visionary and producer, and Elder Ernest Richard, Lady Richard, Pastor Henderson, and Minister Henderson, and of course Apostle Whitlow, and the other Apostle. I'm so
Smith.
Sorry, I can't get his name. Smith.
Smith.
I always want to call him differently. Smith. I love you, and I thank God for him, and God bless him on his honoring of him being the pastor of the year. And Father, we ask that you keep all of us, continue to look upon Mother Ernestine Sales, and we will thank you in advance for all that we are praying for, agreeing for, spoken and unspoken. Forgive us of our sins, and we will forgive others. Give us hearts to forgive others, that you may be glorified. And Lord, we are expecting miracles, signs, and wonders, beautiful things to take place because you promised they would. And we thank you for all things. I honor my husband, Pastor Donald Wright Jr. Continue to be with him. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kimmy Kim, I'm going to go ahead. We'll talk about the missions trip next week. The time is late, and I know some of y'all got to go to work in the morning. So without further ado, hit that track.
There's a place that I wanna go, where the sun is always shining, folks are always smiling. Go a place where crying is unheard of and dying ain't even thought of. Oh, a place where there's no color of skin, you won't find no sin. Oh, a place. And I wanna get there. Yeah, I'm gonna get there one day. I wanna get there. I'm gonna get there one day. My crown and bow before the throne. Gates Wanna get there one day.